Hey, Bruce Bochy was right. They do play for each other, and they don't quit. Their backs are against the wall, and somehow that experience. And I look at my list again. How about Michael Morse? He's been in the playoffs before, I guess. Let me ask Alex Pavlovich that, the Bay Area Newspaper Group. Is this the first playoff for Michael Morse? I forget.
No, he was on that Nationals team that decided to shut down Steven Strasburg.
Right, Yeah. Well, I said it here. By the way, thank you for being on. You've been great all season long, Alex Pavlovich from the Bay Area Newspaper Group. You look at this team, an unlikely group of people that would run through the postseason. Alex, I said 25 players, 25 stories. I think that's the story of the playoff.
Yeah, I think we wrote them all two or three times in October. So it was, you know, you really look up and down the roster, and they got contributions from just about everybody in huge spots. And guys you wouldn't expect. I mean, Matt Duffy in Washington scoring on a wild pitch. You have Juan Perez. Big in the World Series. And really, the catch he made the other night, I just watched it again this morning. That's a huge play. That's a game-tying play. And all of a sudden, you might have, you know, if somebody else is out there in left field, the game is tied. You have a runner in scoring position against Bumgarner in his first inning, and maybe they're not parading yesterday. So you go up and down the roster. Everybody contributed, some people more than others. Nobody more than Bumgarner, but there's a reason that every single one of them was on a float yesterday or on a bus, and every guy got to be introduced at City Hall, and they all deserved it.
Yeah, they elevated their game. The experience of playing in postseason, of this team, this band of brothers, so to speak, getting together, I'm telling you, they elevated their game. They didn't play like this all year long, but they elevated their game, and the names you just mentioned certainly did it. Was Bumgarner on a horse yesterday? Did I hear that?
He was. I've tweeted a couple photos of that, from Morse and one, I believe, from one of the cops who was at the parade. Yeah, he got on a horse, and there are pictures of it. So it's out there. It's a pretty good photo.
You know, what a postseason for him. And, again, you know, this is Dizzy Dean, Bob Feller, Catfish Hunter. This is one of Gaylord Perry. This is the country hardball kind of kid. And you cover him every day. Did he ever change during the year?
No, he's like that every day. You know, the reason he's able to do what he did in October, and I think maybe some people got sick of it, but probably once every month I would tweet randomly that I showed up at the park early and Bumgarner was out there running on the track. You know, it's no accident what he did. This is a guy who is obviously born freakishly talented and born with a drive. If you read that New York Times story, his dad said he'll take the steak off the devil's plate. I mean, he was born that way, but a lot of this is hard work and what he's been able to do and kind of get a routine and stick with it. There are two pitchers I see out there every single time a day after a start working at 1:30 or 2, and it's Bumgarner and Clayton Kershaw. It's no accident. I think that they're, you know, one is the best regular season pitcher in the world. The other one's the best postseason pitcher in the world.
Boy, amazing. Alex Pavlovich here with us. All right. I was thinking about Jake Peavy today. And, of course, talks about, well, John Lester and I want to get together and go somewhere. Well, it's not going to be here if that's the case. But I was thinking about his influence on the country guys. Because even at the, you know, the speeches at the parade, I mean, here's a guy who comes in the end of July and just immediately blends into the clubhouse. There's something to him because he influences Hudson. He influences Bumgarner. He influences Kane. And that's the bulk of your pitching staff. And Vogelsong kind of goes along for the ride anyway, you know, he to the beat of his own drummer. And Lindskum's on the other end of the clubhouse. But, you know, if you look at a pitching staff of the country guys, Peavy actually becomes a very important clubhouse guy for everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. Not to take anything away from Jake, he's a phenomenal clubhouse guy. I mean, he's one of those guys in baseball that he probably has cell phone numbers of 10 guys on every team. He just is a popular guy. He fits well. He knows a ton of guys. Obviously, it's incredible for the media because of how much he talks, and he'll apologize for giving long-winded answers, but it's great for us. I guess my hesitation would be that I think it was there already. I think what they have with Kane and with Hudson, with Bumgarner now, I mean, he's going to be the anchor now that the younger pitchers come up and look to him for years to come. And that started already. I, you know, from a leadership standpoint, I think they're okay. You can look at what he did on the field, And certainly they don't get where they are, even though in the postseason he wasn't great, they don't get where they are without what he did in August and September. So that was a huge help. But I do think from a leadership standpoint, that clubhouse is one that you know, they can go out now and maybe take a risk or two on guys because it's so strong in there. And you already have Posey and Bumgarner and Kane and other guys who are set up to be leaders, and Hunter Pence, you know, they can go out and not worry about having to bring in leaders.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you. I think that PV made Hudson laugh, and I think Bumgarner just kind of looked at him, and Kane was, I don't know, there's something about that group for me. So what happens with Jake Peavy next year? And I'll preface it like this. You know, you can't get and fall in love. They always say don't fall in love with players in March or September. But I'll tell you, it's hard to not fall in love with players after a World Series because now you really have to assess them and who they are and what the future is. If you bring Peavy back, you have Hudson back, Kane's coming back, you have potentially Lincecum in this rotation, Hudson. You have a whole group of six-inning pitchers, and it'll kill the bullpen. Don't you have to have a guy other than, let's hope, Kane and Bumgarner, one more guy who can go seven or eight innings?
Yeah, you know, I think the rotation's going to be interesting because first and foremost, they need to figure out what they're doing with Sandoval. And if you bring Sandoval back, I don't see how you can afford PV just because the numbers don't work. I think the Sandoval number is going to get so high that you're looking at going a little bit cheaper in your rotation at that point and figuring it out. So I think any discussion of the rotation happens after you figure out what you're doing at third base. If they can't bring Sandoval back, then, you know, maybe you get into a bidding war for some of these better pitchers out there. And it's not a good market for position players, but it is for starting pitchers. I don't know that they've never really shown an inclination to go out there and get somebody else's pitcher because they like their own guys and they know their own guys. They know how healthy they are. But if they don't bring Sandoval back, there's going to be some money to spend and maybe it can be spent on the rotation.
Yeah, I think the rotation's got to be worked over. You cannot have a whole rotation of six-inning pitchers. It just doesn't work. You know, you got to have a guy, and who knows what Kane will bring to the table, but Peavy, to me, is a six-inning pitcher. Hudson's a six-inning pitcher. Vogelsong's a six-inning pitcher. Lincecum's a six-inning pitcher. So, trade. You know, even if you bring Sandoval back, you know, you have the general manager who's going to the Hall of Fame. Come up with a trade and bring me a pitcher. That's what I want. Bring me a pitcher.
Well, I'll tell you, yesterday we talked to Larry Bear, and a couple times he mentioned, you know, don't just look at the kind of the timeline here for free agents. Look at trades, too. I think they're going to be very aggressive on that front.
Good.
And trying to find somebody that can come in, a younger guy that they can add. And like you said, somebody who can soak up innings because in the postseason they got six quality starts out of Bumgarner, one from everybody else.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. It was incredible what Bumgarner did and incredible what the team did. It's not going to work again, and it's not going to work in a regular season. You can't go out there and rely on Affeldt and Lopez and Romo and Casilla and those guys as much as they did. So, yeah, I think it's going to be hard to get into a bidding war for some guys, but a trade certainly, you know, they're set at some spots now. They have some spots. You know, catcher, if they keep Posey back there for a while, all of a sudden they have two pretty good young ones. That may be a good way to get another pitcher in here.
Hey, whatever happened to Hector Sanchez and Angel Pagan? I know they weren't there yesterday. People have asked me about that. Do you know?
Yeah, I've been asked about that over and over again. I'm not sure about Hector. You know, I think he probably went home at some point. He wanted to play winter ball, and certainly he's still recovering from a concussion. So I think at some point he probably quietly slipped out of there. Angel was back for the World Series game
right
at home. And he said that if he was cleared to fly, and he was cleared to fly out to San Francisco, that he would think about going to Kansas City. I'm not sure exactly what happened. He went home, I assume. I'll just say, you know, people have said, why didn't the Giants do this? Why didn't they do that? I'll just say every guy, as you saw yesterday, would have been allowed to come back if they wanted to. I think these were personal decisions made by the players, and certainly you can't fault the guy for wanting to be with his family or somebody who went home to Puerto Rico or Venezuela and didn't want to fly back. But I don't think it had anything to do with the team. I think it was personal decisions made by guys who didn't want to be there chose not to be there.
All right. Well, that it's sort of all over Twitter asking that question, so I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
All right. Hunter Strickland falls apart. Contos doesn't make the rotation. Machi is, you know, on fumes. Gutierrez has a sore shoulder. Does Sergio Romo have some leverage here with the Giants? Because Strickland was sort of going to be groomed to be that eighth inning guy. I don't believe he can be right now. I think he's really got to work on his game to get through a championship season. Does Romo have a little bit more leverage with the Giants, and maybe they have to reach out to him?
You know, he has more leverage than he did a couple months ago, I think, and certainly has more value than he did. I think what he did in the postseason, you know, there were a lot of underrated guys in October. He was one of them. What he did was incredible. Aside from the one home run he gave, he was pretty much flawless after that. So you know what you have there. You know that he's a guy who can be an eighth inning guy. He can be a closer with Castilla and Affelt and Lopez. That's as good as it gets at the back four if you can bring those guys back. I also think at some point the bullpen starts to get a little bit pricey when you look at how old some of those guys are and how much money some of them are making. If he's looking for the same deal the other guys got, and they gave him three-year deals, and, you know, some of these, we're talking $15, $18 million, that's probably something he can go out there and get. You're really putting yourself in a tough spot if you start paying that much money to the back end of the bullpen. At some point, you need the young guys to step up. I you know, I'll go down with this ship. I still think Hunter Strickland's going to be good. Chicago had Tommy John surgery. They never expected him to pitch even in September. I asked people about that when he came back, and they said, no, that, you know, that's pushing it a little bit to think this guy's going to be ready in September. He had such a good season in San Jose and in Richmond that they put him up there and didn't give up a run in September. And I think anybody who saw him in September said this is their future closer. So it was a tough spot for him. We have to remember the guy's a rookie. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. And really just got jolted there in October. But I talked to him after game six. He hasn't lost an ounce of confidence, and the organization hasn't lost confidence in him. I think at some point you have to turn it over to younger guys and groom them. You can't have a bunch of 30-year-olds in the bullpen making $5, $6 million a year.
No, I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly. Well, he's going to have to get that off speed. He needs a second pitch, and he's going to be able to command it. And that's the big key, and maybe you'll be able to do it over the winter and spring training. All right, we'll let you go and with one last thought. And, again, I want to thank you so much and the fans on Twitter, everybody responding to Alex Pavlovich and having another great year. This is your junior season, right? You're a junior. Yeah. You'll be a senior next year. He was Rookie of the Year.
Graduating.
You were Rookie of the Year, and the sophomore jinx never got you, so you're a senior next year. But if you're a betting man, what do you say happens with Pablo Sandoval?
If I'm betting, that he's back. I think it's very close, like 55-45, if you're looking at 100%. I'm betting that it's back only because I think ownership realizes that, you know, the fans, your listeners, my readers, and I appreciate all of them, and I appreciate you having me on. Those people filled the ballpark every night once again. They filled Market Street. They're out there every single night. It's, you know, the best fan base in baseball, I think, and certainly up there in the top two or three if somebody else wants to argue. So at some point, you have to go out there and make a move that maybe you don't want to make, and it'll cost you a lot of money, and it might be one you regret later, but I think they owe it to the fan base to stretch their budget and, you know, go to a place they're not comfortable, and I think that's where this is headed. I keep looking at Shin-Soo Choo, who got 7 years and $130 million.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's four years older than Pablo. He is, you know, plays a corner outfield position. He's kind of the same type of profile as a hitter, although he's a better on-base guy and has had better seasons as a hitter. But Pablo plays third base and plays gold glove defense there. And is 4 years younger and has the postseason resume that few in this game have ever had. So I look at that contract. I don't see how it doesn't approach that point. I know the Giants are scared of that. I know they don't want to see that number out there. But I don't know. I just think this guy's the best position player on the market. I don't see how it doesn't get to a really kind of ridiculous point, but one that the Giants have to swallow hard and say, you know what, he's won us two titles, and he still has the seat, so we got to do it.
Wow. All right, Alex, thank you so much. We'll keep in touch over the winter, as always, and love having you on, and we appreciate all the hard work you do.
All right, Marty. Thanks for everything.
All right, that is Alex Pavlovich.